you so much for that warm introduction. And it's all reciprocated from my family. Me and Melissa, Jeff and Gail have been very special to us. They've embraced us and encouraged us in so many ways. And so has the church here. I am amazed at how many times I run into Woods Edge people doing Woods Edge stuff all across the city. And so it's a huge blessing to even be here today. So I want to thank you. And it always feels like I'm at home. So I'm not going to quite kick off my shoes, but I'm going to be real comfortable with you today. Amen. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Well, I am so glad to be able to speak to you as we close out this year and what a year it's been. And so I want to speak to you this morning, if you will, about purpose and passion, perseverance, as we all seek to do what God has called us to do in our callings and in our purpose and direction in life. But I want to start off by telling you, you know, when I was in middle school, my father was in the military, so we were stationed overseas. And there was a group of guys my age, about three or four of us, and we had the opportunity, we were passionate about basketball. That was our thing. And we even had some success. We made it to the state championship, if you will, of European-based basketball. Our seventh, eighth grade year, we were fantastic. We went all the way to the finals, and we lost in the finals. But that just cemented it to us that, man, this is our call in life. All of us, we just knew we are all destined for NBA fame. Each one of us, we were all from different cities, so we had a different path picked out. You'll be the franchise guy of this city. I'm going to be the franchise guy of this city. And man, that is going to be our deal. And we were passionate about it. When I tell you, we worked summer jobs, and when we got off that summer job, we went straight to the gym. We were working out, pushing each other, doing all of these things because we knew at the very least we were going to be college all-stars. At the very least. That was the bottom of the bucket. You know what I'm saying? But we were on our way for fame, man. This was ideal because this is who we are and we're passionate about it. Well, we get to high school. I get to high school. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, there's some other tall guys around here, man. And some of these dudes are a little bit faster than I am and can jump a little higher than I am. And all of a sudden, we begin to realize that maybe this is not going to be quite as easy as we thought. And maybe this is not quite the destiny we thought it was going to be. And so even as we moved up in high school, many of us had to change sports and do other things. And we realized, man, this is not going to work like we thought it was going to work. But you know what? As we got older, we did like most people do. When we realized that we no longer were going to be able to pursue our dream of an NBA championship, we said, well, look, let me find a team and a superstar, and I'll live vicariously through them. So I quickly identified myself with my favorite team and my favorite athlete, and that's how I'm going to have to achieve my dream and my passion of winning a championship. Because I'm limited. Because I'm not tall enough, I'm not quick enough, I didn't have the DNA, I didn't get all that, so I can't pursue it, so I'm going to live vicariously through my favorite team or player. And then if you keep living long enough, where I am in the place now, well, I don't have to look for a team or a favorite, I can live through my children. I get to go and watch them compete, and I get to pursue those dreams that I wanted to have through them. And as you know, that can be a little dangerous. You know what I'm saying? It can be done in balance, but it's got to be done in balance. It's not good to be getting kicked out of the gym because you can't. You're acting unruly as a pastor. Not that it's ever happened to me. Not that it's ever happened to me. But the point of it is, and why am I telling you, and I've been blessed to have all four of my kids compete in sports and some even pursue it in college. Why am I telling you all of this story about me and my little life? It's because of this, and this is where we want to go today. Unfortunately, many Christians have had to resolve living their spiritual lives like I had to resolve living my athletic dreams. Lord, I feel like I'm unqualified. I don't have what it takes. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not called enough. So let me live vicariously through somebody else. Let me live through this ministry. Let me live through this pastor. Let me live through this man or woman of God. Let me live through them because, God, it passed me up. And what I want to challenge you with this morning, that's not how God's called us to live. Every believer should be able to live a life of purpose, perseverance, and passion. Because here's the deal. Although I was limited physically, although I stopped growing at 6'1¾", although my vertical limits me to where I needed it to be, I'm limited in this body, but in the spirit, I'm not limited because I live through the blood of Christ of Jesus. I live through Jesus. Amen? And through him, I'm able to do all things that he's purposed me and called me to do. And what I want to talk about this morning is all that God has done in your life, even the negative things, even the hard things, boy, he's been preparing you for something special. He's been equipping you for something only you can do. Only you've been called and destined to. And sometimes we look at our lives, even as I look at this year that we've all gone through and the difficulties, but you know, God is preparing and developing something in each and every one of us. A work that he's called specifically to each and every one of us that only you can do, because I can't do what you've been called to do. You can't do what I've been called to do. But I want to look at this through the life of a man we all know in Paul. In Romans, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be in Romans 15, verses 14 to 21. And Paul says this as he's writing to the people of Rome, the church in Rome, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God. And here's what Paul says. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem around about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Amen. Amen. So Paul is writing to this church, the believers in Rome. He starts off by saying, giving them a compliment, by saying, listen, I want to tell you what I see in you. You are full of goodness, and you are filled with all knowledge. You're filled with knowledge. What is he saying here? Two things that as we seek to be purposeful and walk in perseverance and in passion and a call that God has for us, two things Paul highlights here. Full of goodness, meaning you, what God cares about, you got to care about. We all have to be passionate about the things that God cares about. God, I want you to fill my heart. I want to know what you are, what concerns you, and that's what I want to be concerned about. And I want to be based on the word of God. He says, you are full of knowledge, meaning you are based on biblical teaching, sound doctrine. And this is why he encourages them. He says, I see these things in you. And you have the ability to admonish one another. You can almost sum this up in one word, maturity. See, if any of us are going to pursue a calling, a purpose with passion and perseverance, man, we got to mature. We got to walk with him through some things. You've got to be able to hold on and allow God to develop in you what he wants to do in you. Yeah, I have young people or people come to me all the time and say, Pastor Hill, I love what you're doing. I see you out here in the streets, and I see you out here. You've got such an easy way with these young men and all of these people. I want to be able to do that. And what I've learned is people like the shine, but they don't like the grind. See, people love to see when you are walking in your purpose or when you are doing what God's called you to do, but what they don't understand, that's not where it started, and that's not all to it. My wife is here to testify with you. As when I started out in ministry, as we traveled across this country in inner city communities of Chicago and Atlanta and Mississippi, and every city I went to, there was no funding. There was no ministry to undergird. I had to go get a job, and I had to serve in the ministry that I was there with, all while having children along the way and raising them. But that was part of the passion. I knew God had called me to serve in inner city, low-income African-American communities. That was my passion. That was my call. And even though I didn't fully realize it in those moments, God began to unfold it to me, but he had to walk me through some stuff. He had to see, David, I got to know that you're in this thing for real with me. Now, I'm going to reveal stuff to you here and there, but some stuff I just need you to be obedient to. And see, that's one of the challenges for a lot of us when it comes to purpose and perseverance and passion and call is obedience. Because sometimes God begins us on something, but it's kind of like that wax on, wax off kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you who, I'm not going to, you telling your age now. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes God just says, just do this for a while. That's all I want you to do. Just do this, wax on, wax off. But God, I want to understand the mystery of the stars, and I want to know how you created me, what you, just wax, I just want you to do this for a while. But God, I don't understand, it's not making sense, I need to be doing this. Hey, just do what I've asked you to do. See, we have a hard time with that sometimes. Just do what I've asked you to do. I put you here for a reason, for a season, just be obedient. And what you'll find is, when you walk in obedience, it produces some maturity in you. And it produces a listening ear that you can hear what God is saying. So Paul is telling them, he sees these good things in them. They are full with goodness and filled with all knowledge because they're concerned about the things that God's concerned about. And they based their lives and their walks on Scripture. But then Paul gets to some of the meat of what I want to talk about today. In verse 16, he says, he talks about his life. He says that he's called to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul has found his purpose in his call to the Gentiles. And when believers find their purpose, like Paul, they can overcome all kinds of hardships with a motivation and a determination that only comes when God has captured your heart about something. Listen, what is it that won't let you sleep at night? What is it that just turns you, makes you toss and turn? Because you see it and it bothers you. You feel God stirring up something like, I can't seem to shake this. I know in my life, as I looked at the plight of African Americans in low-income communities, and I mentored and discipled some, and I saw them continually fall into the same pitfalls, something began to stir in me to say, I got to do something, Lord. What is it? I cannot be here on this earth and see this and not address it. I thought I just had a passionate feeling about something, but God was beginning to crank something in my soul. Say, David, yeah, that's right. I got something I want you to do. I didn't know it then.
And you may not know it now, but God may be cranking something in your soul. And you think it's just something that bothers you, and God is saying, no, I'm trying to awaken something in you. And you know it's something that God has when you want to do it. Let me tell you something this. Budget doesn't define whether I do this or not. People don't decide whether I do this or not. It's going to get done because I can't not face you in the end. Having been on this earth and not done what you've asked me to do. And so many people are like, well, I would do it, Pastor Hill, but I just can't seem to find the money for it. I would do it, but I just can't seem to find another. You know, if that's what God's calling you to do it, somebody told me a long time ago, if it's his will, it's his bill. If it's something he wants to do, he'll find a way for you to get it done. The question is your soul stirred up enough to begin to walk in obedience? Paul says in verse 16, he has found, he's called to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. And I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what they call me. I don't care how they categorize me. This is who God's called me to preach to. And I'm going to do it. Now, God may call you to a group. He may call you to a place. Let me tell you something. He may call you in your own home. Amen. Let me tell you something. One of the most awesome things I've seen in my Christian life is the call of my wife to her home. A college-educated woman with all the future in front of her, when we got married and had children, she said, this is what I'm going to do. When other women categorized her and put her down, told her, what is she doing? You just over there listening to that man when you can go out there and have a better life, do the things you want to do. But God spoke to her and she said, this is what I'm going to do. And she poured her soul into our family. And you know, I always pride myself on being the chief servant in my home, but how can I be the chief servant when this woman is always out serving me? It's convicting. Come on now. And I've seen her lay down her life. And let me tell you something, there ain't no big budget at our house for that job. She the main one laughing. Ain't no budget over there for that. But she did it because God called her to. She did it because she said, I want this family to be a light to others. And now I see, as she walked in obedience to that, how God has elevated her in the community. When women want to know how to be a better mother, who do they call? When women want to know how they love their husbands, how they should walk in a godly light, who do they call? Amen. Listen, so many times people think this has something to do with full-time ministry, staff. It don't have nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with who you are and how God has built you and what he's called you to do. See, that's how we impact the world. That's how God's kingdom gets established. That's how his work is done. When everyday people respond to the call of God on their lives, there ain't nothing special about me. Nothing. Now, my wife would tell you I got some Denzel qualities, but I mean, you know, that's her. But outside of that, I'm just like you. You know, you just take that away. Come on now, I'm having fun with you. But there ain't nothing special about me, I promise you. Nothing. And there ain't nothing special about half the men and women of God that you see anywhere else, other than folks have said, I'm going to walk out. I'm going to put you to the test, God. I'm going to take this thing and walk it out. And that's what Paul does. And he says in verse 17, he says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. He highlights his kingdom focus It's a kingdom focus that we all need as we seek to walk out our call. Because if we boast in Christ Jesus, not only will our calling last, but we will find that Jesus himself does the work. Let me tell you something. When you begin to do a work for God, and God says, I'm going to bless this and do it, you got to be careful. Because I'm going to be honest with you. You know, my wife and some of my friends, they joke that I got a little politician in me. Because, you know, the bright lights in the camera don't embarrass me. I don't mind a little shine on me. And what can happen sometimes is you do enough and people begin to slap you on the back and they begin to say, boy, you knocking it out the park. Man, you're doing such a great job. Boy, there ain't nobody like you in this. Ain't nobody like you. And all of a sudden, you start to believe some of that. You start to feel good in some of that. And I mean, hey, we're all human. But what Paul says, if I'm going to brag about anything, I'm going to boast about Jesus. Amen. I'm going to boast about the work that he has done. You may know me as a great evangelist and a man who has shaped this earth, but it has nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, as you define it, as you walk with the Lord, and if God allows you to walk in your purpose and your passion, and as you begin to be successful, don't let the enemy come and make you think it's got something to do with you. Because one of the things we all have to understand is brokenness. And this has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with you. God, if I'm going to brag about anything, let me lift your name up. And Paul is saying, and when you do that, you will actually begin to see God do the work. And there is no more powerful thing, and this is why I believe this for everyone, there's no greater feeling on this earth than to see God move through you. Amen. Than to see God do things through what he wants to do in your life and realize, man, it has nothing to do with me. I'm driving and I don't have my hands on the wheel. It's really God doing it. And you know what? We always think that it's going to impact other people, but God all the time is saying, I'm trying to show you something. Amen. See, I'm trying to do another work in you. And the more you allow God to do things through you as you walk in faithfulness, the more you see him move, the more it'll change you. And you'll begin to realize how small and insignificant I truly am. Because a lot of times we think this world is revolving around us. When God has a plan and he's at the center of it and we're the ones revolving. And you know what? We're about this small and we got this much time. He is forever infinity and we are a vapor. And the more I see him move and the more I see him do things, the more I become aware of I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nothing. And what an awesome thing it is to be used this much. This much. There's no greater feeling. But Paul says, beware that you don't get the cart ahead of the horse. You never forget that it's all about him because he's the center of it all. Verse 19, he says, for in the power of the signs and wonder, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem, around about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Not only did Paul know what he was passionate about, he knew exactly how he was called to do it. Let me tell you something. If you walk with the Lord, he'll reveal exactly what he's called you to do. And not only that, he'll reveal exactly why he made you the way he made you. He'll even reveal why you've been through everything you've been through. Because I had a plan all along. Because there was a work I wanted to do in you. It's important that we persevere. It's important that we not give up hope. It's important that we not grow weary and faint. You know why? Because in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 9 through 10, it says, the Lord knows, one day, Paul knew that we all have to stand before him. We all got to give an account for this life as believers. We all one day got to take our little 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of life and stand before the Lord and give an account. So when I grow weary, when I grow faint, I remember, Lord, this is one day I've got to stand before you. And I got to give an account for this life. And just like Paul, I want to persevere through the difficult times. So what you've lit my soul on fire for and what you made me passionate about, I want to be faithful with it to the end. Larry Crabb, who's a Christian author, says this: the core problem is not that we are too passionate about bad things, but that we are not passionate enough about good things. We all have things that we are passionate about, just like I was when I was a young man. We don't often become passionate about the things that God is passionate about. All I'm trying to say to you this morning is, no matter where you are, no matter where God has you, no matter what you may feel your shortcomings and strengths are, God wants to use you. Wherever you are, he's got you there for a reason. However you are, he's made you that way for a reason. Sometimes I look at, and let me tell you something, this happens with pastors all the time. Sometimes I look at some of these wonderful pastors that manage and steward some of these great movements and large churches. And I think to myself, man, I could never do that. I wouldn't find happiness in that. And I don't have the ability, the skill, or the talent. And there was a time when that would discourage me. It says, maybe I'm in the wrong profession. But see, here's the thing that happens when you find your true purpose. It's like the hand that fits a glove. When God puts me, God has me right where he has me, and I'm okay with that. It fits me like a glove. And I don't have to measure myself against anybody else because I'm doing what he's called me to do. And whether that's pastoring 50 or 500, it doesn't matter. All that matters is this is what he's called me to do. So I'm telling you, when you look at your life, we got to quit comparing ourselves to what other folks are doing. Because you're not going to be held accountable for what they've been called to do. You're going to be held accountable for what God's called you to do. And did you do it? And were you faithful? And when I began to realize that, I was able to stop doing that and say, you know what? Let me get busy right where God's called me. It's enough here to take up two lifetimes. Why am I looking all around at what other folks are doing or not doing and comparing myself when it's enough to keep me busy right here? You may say that about your own home. You may say that about your own neighborhood. You may say that about your job. You may be able to say that about your community at large. I don't know, but I'm telling you, as we close out this year, if more believers would begin to think, you know what, yes, it's been crazy, but God, what have you called me to do in this craziness? What am I supposed to be about in the kingdom of God in the midst of this craziness? Let me focus on that. Let me not lose sight of that, and let me not grow faint. No matter what's going on all around me. Because this is what you created me for. And when you find that, there's one element left. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. People ask me at times, Pastor Hill, how can you serve in the community? How can you serve so long and seeing some of the same problems when you started? Some of those same problems still exist today. Some of the same things that plague my community and the African-American community. 75% of black children are born to single-parent households. Over 30% of all abortions happen on black children. Even though black folks only make up 13% of the population and the female population is less than that. I see genocide happening in my community and abandonment from children by their fathers at an unprecedented rate. And it was like that when I started, and it's almost like that even though I've been at it for almost 20 plus years. People say, how do you get up and go to work every day? How do you stay encouraged when you see that and you don't feel like it's you're making a difference in the numbers? I tell them, in truth, I've not been called to make a difference in the numbers.
Amen. Thank you.
You know what I've been called to? Faithfulness. I've been called to get up and answer the bell every day and do what I've been called to do, because I don't have the power to change not one soul.
Amen.
That's my boss's job.
Amen.
He manages the store. He manages the store. He's the one that determines all that. All I do is open it up, clean it up, and close it up. You know, that's all I do. He handles all the big stuff. And so when I stand before him one day, the only thing I'm really working on is, did I do what you asked me to do? I'm not looking for him, boy, you saved this many souls, you changed this many things. If it happens, it happens. Lord, I want to see it happen. But the ultimate thing I want him to know is, Lord, you told me to do this. And I tried to do it every day. I tried to be faithful every day. I tried to get up every day and do what you called me to do. In sports, in football, basketball, they always narrow it down. Just do your job. Do your role. The rest, winning, will take care of itself. Ain't that what they used to say, coaches? We got any? Winning will take care of itself. Just do your job. When you know God has called you, purposed you, he's put a passion in you and called you to persevere, just do what he's called you to do. Don't get caught up in the scoreboard. Oh, it's important to take a glance at it. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking. I want to know if I'm up or down. But ultimately, that can't dictate the effort that I give. Like Paul said, I want to do this, and I want to do it to the glory of God. He says, from here to Illyricum, I've been called to go where no man has been called to go. God will reveal to you exactly what he's calling you to do. And he'll give you specific details if you stay with him and you'll walk with him. Let me close and I say this. All of us can have that same clarity and confidence that Paul had. But whatever God's called you to, however he's called you to it, I'm going to leave you with this passage because it's one of my favorite. And it's not so because my name is in it, but it is in it. But it's what I want said of me when I leave this place. Because we're all going to leave this place. We're all going to leave this place. And when I do, this is what I hope they can say. Acts 13:36 says, for David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. Will it be said of you when you die that you serve the purpose of God in your generation? Will you have done what he asked you to do in faithfulness, full of passion and purpose and perseverance? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this morning, dear Lord. And Father, while we all know we've fallen short of walking in the fullness of what you called us to, Lord, I pray for everyone here that is listening to my voice, whether it's online or here in person, Father, that you would stir in us the desire to walk out a purpose and a passion that you put in us. And that, Father, we would not feel as though we were limited by the shortcomings that we might experience physically. But Father, in the spirit, through the blood of Christ, you have enabled us and empowered us to walk in the fullness of what you created us to do. So Father, every woman, man, and child, let us walk in obedience, faithfulness, with a listening ear and maturity, that we might hear what you have for us. And that we would not be discouraged by what goes on around us. We would not faint and we would not grow weary.
but we would be led by a loving God. Because, Lord, as much as you want to change this world, you want to change us. As much as you want to do a work in this world, you want to do a work in us. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.